Well, welcome back to Three Part Par. My name's Mike Caridi. I'm your host. This is episode number 35. 35 it is. I had to work that out. Now, normally I screw it up a little bit. I know that, but this is pre-recorded. So I am getting on the road in the next couple of weeks. So we are having a couple of interviews with people that I'm putting in the can. So we will be playing things like Mike versus the Mug, but that sort of stuff will come down the line closer to this event. But we do have a special guest still this week to play along with, and that is Jeremy Mountjoy. Jeremy, welcome.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
No, good to have you, mate. Appreciate it, because we are both in Melbourne. Now, this is pre-recorded, so for anyone listening at home, it is Players' Championship Week, and Melbourne is in March, and we have a heatwave, which is very Melbourne. You're down in Geelong, though. Is it still hot down there?
Yeah. I was working in a kitchen last night, and I think inside the kitchen, it got to about 44 degrees or something, so it was warm.
So I always used to work in hospitality for a long time before I started working in sales, and the one thing I never, ever, ever looked at and thought, I might do that one day, was a chef. Because I'd walk through the back of the kitchen to get rid of the bottles or whatever I was doing, I was always behind the bar. It was 1,000 degrees in front of the flames. And I was like, why on earth would you do this? Why would you do this? So you're a chef. Like, explain why you're mad enough to do that.
Yeah, I wanted to do it for a long time. I love cooking. I was passionate about it. And I kept trying to do other things and forget my love for cooking, but it got the best of me in the end. So I had to try it for a little while, and then I fell in love pretty quick. So it is high pressure, but it's good fun when you get it right. It's very rewarding, and I love food that much, so it makes it all worth it.
Now, you told me before we started recording you're doing a little bit with some catering stuff down that way at the moment, but historically Donovan's and Atlas, some pretty Melbourneites would know, are some pretty fancy kind of restaurants here in Melbourne.
Yeah, kind of came up through Donovan's. I was there for about 5 or 6 years. It was a good place to kind of cut my teeth in the industry. It's big kitchen, so you kind of got to find your own path through it. But yeah, it was good, really good food, and they're still doing really good things now. So, and then moved over to Atlas Dining on Chapel Street after that, and that was a really different experience, set menu sort of thing, but really high quality food still, and just only cooking over fire there. So you talk about hot kitchens, that's about as hot as they get. You know, they don't have gas there, so that was always hot.
Yeah. The reason I got into playing golf, so I don't think I've ever told this story. I've probably never told it because it's not that interesting, but I'll tell you anyway because it kind of fits. I started playing golf when I was like 22, and it was because I started working in bars and pubs. And when you work in a bar or a pub, we've played footy up until in under 18s, under 19s. You work in a bar or a pub, you normally got Monday, Tuesday, or Tuesday, Wednesday off. And all my mates were at work in a normal job. So I needed something to do. So I went and played golf by myself. Is that similar for you?
Exactly the same. Yeah, yeah, right. For sure. Tom, the other owner of Mount T Golf, he started playing golf. We met him at Donovan's, actually. We met at Donovan's Kitchen. We both started there about the same time and just hit it off pretty quick. So, but not long after he started Donovan's, he started playing a bit of golf and kept nagging me to get out there. And I kept saying no for as long as I could. But eventually he kind of got his teeth into me, and so did the game. So, yeah, that was pretty much the same thing. I played football pretty much all growing up till I was about 25, and then unfortunately kind of had to give it away when I started working in kitchens, but it's been a pretty easy substitute, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's competitive, it's a different, obviously anyone that plays any sport outside of golf, they're all sports, they're all competitive, but I think it is different in that it's individual, you know, like different that calling penalties on yourself, there's a different sort of honesty to it, whereas you're playing footy, you're part of a team, it's a different vibe, but it still has that. Yeah, it still scratches that itch, I guess, of doing something, getting out there, and sort of staying active, which is good, I think.
For sure, I think the improvement, you're playing against yourself, aren't you? If you see improvement, it feels like you're winning, and if you're not seeing improvement, it feels like you're losing. It's kind of the way it goes. But fully addicted now. It's hard to get off my shoulders.
Yeah. Now, before we start talking about Mount T, which we're going to talk about, one of the things I noticed just from looking at the Instagrams was during COVID, you fell back onto organizing some meals. So give us a rundown on how that all worked. So a lot of people did it, but I haven't spoken to anyone about it. How did it all work with the cooking piece?
Yeah, I was spending so much time at home, and I've got too much energy to just sit in an apartment all day. So started making pasta, and there was only so much pasta that me and my wife could eat. So eventually I was just making it and giving it away. And then, yeah, so, sold sourdough for a little bit, and then just sold pasta to my friends and stuff like that on Instagram. I'd quickly deliver it to their house. Anyone that was close enough to my house, I could pop over there. And yeah, it just kept me entertained. It was a small apartment and not much else to do. So it was one way to pass the time.
It's amazing how many people you saw during that period that were doing that sort of stuff. I know that I saw a lot of people making pizza in New York out of their kitchens and selling it and dropping it. I know there was a Dave Portnoy, if anyone ever sees his pizza reviews, dropping a pizza, like conveyoring it down with a rope outside of a window out of an apartment, which is a bit interesting. But yeah, I mean, I think it's great. I mean, I think it would have been difficult. I mean, I don't know, where were you living at the time?
In Kensington, in the west.
Could have easily. I wish I'd known that now, because I live probably inside the 5Ks. I could have had some really nice pasta at home.
Yeah, it was good. Well, it kind of started. I was just giving it to people in the apartment block, and they were really appreciating it. And then it kind of, someone said my friend would like some as well, and dropped that off around the corner. And then it kind of just got bigger and bigger after that. So at one point there was flour all over the apartment, and I was like, "Oh, we got to stop this."
Yeah,
yeah. But it was good fun while it lasted.
Yeah. Right. And is it something that kind of, have you always been someone that started different things like that? Like obviously Mount Tees is similar. So, starting something from scratch.
Yeah, I love a project. I've always loved the project, and I've always had a lot of energy. I'm not very good at just sitting watching TV. Don't watch a whole lot of TV. Can't sit inside for very long. So, I've always been pretty proactive and stuff like that. So it was a good way to pass the time, but yeah, it kind of got a bit big for its boots and a bit big for my house kitchen as well. So, yeah. But no, it was good fun. I met a few new people doing it, and we shared a few tips, and it was good.
That's good. So obviously during that time you didn't play golf, but once you started playing golf sort of out of the Donovan stage, and what's your sort of local go-to? Were you playing local golf, you remember somewhere, or was it a bit of everything?
I first joined up at the Northern in,
yep.
Yeah, just near Essendon.
Yep. Glenroy, yeah.
Yeah, it was good. And then I kind of like moving around to different courses. I was Future Golf. I think that worked really well. But then that was just when we went into lockdown. So we couldn't really use it. Lots of the courses that were associated with it were kind of saying, giving, rightly so, probably giving the spots to members. And it was pretty hard for Future Golf people to get on. I think that's all changed now. But and then, yeah, I went to Mount Derrimut for a little bit. And yeah, a few other courses around. Now I'm at Point Lonsdale while I'm living in Geelong, which I'm enjoying a lot. It's really, really nice down there. So it's good.
It's very nice. I know they do some good memberships down there. I know that I'm on their mailing list because I go down there a lot. I saw they had a new one, or I think they had the same one last year, where you pay, might be $600 and you get $500 worth of golf included. Great deals and a great course. Like, yeah, couldn't think of a better place to practice for your practice facilities there for the little short course and the driving range. And then the course itself is just great.
Yeah, I think the course is really good. It's got some pretty good neighbours in Bowen Heads and 13th and Kerr Lewis. I was a member at Kerr Lewis for a while as well.
Yep.
But yeah, I'm really happy at Lonsdale. I think I might stick around there for a while if I'm still in Geelong. It's in great nick. And it's just an interesting course. I think the wind changes a fair bit on that property as well. So it kind of plays different almost every time you play it. So it's good fun.
It would be, for 3 days of 35 plus here in Melbourne, I'm pretty sure the greens will be running reasonably fast down there this weekend. Have you been out this week?
I haven't been out. I'm playing tomorrow morning, which I'm pretty excited about, 7:40. So
yep.
I think it's meant to cool down tomorrow, which is good. But yeah, thank God. but yeah, they're kind of not the fastest greens. I don't think they're as fast as 13th or Bowen Heads, but yeah, they will be baked out at the moment, I think.
Yeah, and I think with time they will too. I think with a couple more years of growing in, I think they'll be able to turn them up. But again, when that wind gets up, you can't really have them too quick because the ball will blow around.
Yeah, they're so slopey as well. It'll be pretty tough to keep the ball on it if you're in the wrong spot. So
tell us about Mount Tee. So obviously I've seen it on the socials and we wanted to have a chat about it. So where did it come from? What made you jump into this?
Another thing I was doing during lockdown, really, I was cutting up old jackets that I wasn't wearing anymore and turning them into head covers and I was like, there's got to be, I know there's a few good options out there, but there was just nothing that was for me. So I had a bit of a look around and the best way to do it, and that was kind of how we first planned to do it. We realized that was going to be too difficult to do the recycling model, but that was kind of the impetus of the whole thing. We just wanted something that kind of a brand that suited us a little bit more, and something that we couldn't really find. We still like to pay homage to a bygone era, but yeah, also kind of bring that into the modern day fashion. So it's a bit of a combination of the old look and the new put together.
And it's you've got the head covers, obviously. You've got some hats, some t-shirts. How, like, when you're going out to do this sort of stuff, it's obviously a big investment, you know what I mean? Like, it's something that you sort of, if you can, you're either going to do it or you're not going to do it, you know what I mean? So you've obviously gone and done it. The website looks amazing. Has it been taking off, or has it, you know, has it all been going so far?
It's been going well. We've learned lots of lessons, that's for sure. We kind of, none of us had done that before. It's made up for me and Tom, who I met at Donovan's, and his younger brother who works in the fashion industry. He works for Wrangler. So he's our technical guy, which has been very handy. We brought him on late, but much needed. So, but yeah, no, it's going really well. We're learning lots along the way, but yeah, it's going well. It's growing pretty steadily, which is all we can ask.
Yeah, that's really good. For anyone who's listening, it's Mount T Golf, MOUNT, and then TEE Golf. You can find it obviously on Instagram. You can go and have a look, and then the website, it easily Google search, you'll be able to come up. Got some very fashionable photos, but the part that I love the most is all the photos seem to be taken at golf courses that I actually reckon I know most of them. Is that Ainsbury? I think it's there. And so do you play a lot around the local traps around here?
Yeah, I enjoy just playing different courses. It keeps it interesting for me. And we talked about Royal Park before we got in here. I play Royal Park a lot. So I know it's a little bit different to the other courses we've mentioned, but it's as much fun, if you ask me. It's a really good little track.
It's good. It's one of the courses that I cut my teeth on. You know, me and Peter Thompson have one thing in common. No open championships for me, but no, like that and Riverside down in Essendon, the two closest public courses to my house growing up. So now Riverside's all of 2 minutes from my house, and you know, Royal Park's 10 minutes. But Tommy Cotoggio out there has taken over from Michael Lawn at Royal Park. So big shout out to Tommy. Well, we'll get him on one day, even though he keeps telling me he won't come on and talk to me. No, it's great. It's always in good nick. It's easy to sit there and have a beer when you're done. Just a nice, relaxed vibe. I mean, there's not many courses in the world that you can play 9 holes of golf like you can, or 8 holes of golf if you look at Albert Park, like you can in Melbourne. Like, just walk onto a golf course like Royal Park or Albert Park within 2 kilometres of the CBD and play golf. That doesn't happen anyway.
Yeah, it's really good. And it's just such a cool vibe down there. They're happy for you to take beers on the course and wear a t-shirt, and they kind of encourage you. You know, if it's not too busy, you can play in fives, or, they're just really relaxed, and it makes it's so welcoming. They're doing lots of different kind of non-golf related things down there, just so that the community around there can use the space for all different sorts of things. I know they do movie nights and stuff. So it's just a really cool atmosphere there as well, which I think it just helps people. Just they get to a golf course doing something else and they think, maybe I'll try my hand at it. And it's inevitable that it just grows the culture. So it's good.
It is good. And Tommy's done a great job pushing the Random Golf Club Melbourne stuff down there as well. I've been down to one or two since he's taken over, which is good. The last time I was down there, the four lads in front of me were playing shirtless. So I agree with you. T-shirts are fine because these blokes had no tops on. And then I reckon it was about 6 or 12 months ago, I got around to the fourth hole, was a par three, I think. We got there. It was late. Well, not late. You know, it was a twilight round, and probably about 4:30. And there was a woman with a yoga mat down in the middle of the green doing yoga. In the middle of the green. And we got there and we're like, I don't know what to do here. Oh, we couldn't yell four because I'm not sure she understood what we're going to be talking about. We kind of just yelled out until she realized that she wasn't really supposed to be there. I mean, literally the flag was in the middle of the hole. Like, it was still daylight. I don't know what she thought was going on. So they're sharing the course, and then there's probably pushing it. She probably just broke the boundaries on that one.
That might be a little bit too far, but it would be a nice place to do yoga.
It was beautiful. She probably had more fun on that hole than I did. But, it was pretty funny when we walked around the corner and saw that. Now I'm going to ask you some questions to get to know you and your golf. Now you've listened to the podcast before, so you know these questions. Hopefully you haven't done too much preparation because it's always interesting when someone has to think about it. What's a favorite course you've ever played?
Probably Barn Boogle.
Yep.
Yeah, it was actually my honeymoon. Woke up before the sun came up and drove out there and got there as the sun was rising, not a breath of wind. Beautiful sunrise. That to me is an unbelievable course. And Bowen Heads is pretty close to it. I really like Bowen Heads, but yeah, I think Barn Boogle probably just tops it.
Is it Barn Boogle Dunes or Lost Farm?
Dunes, yeah.
Dunes, yeah. Nice. It's a beautiful place. I actually agree with you. I played Lost Farm once at the crack of dawn, and it was beautiful. And I think the best part about it was the wind wasn't up yet, sun was out, it was great. Or just sun was just coming up. And I think that getting out there like that, and you're literally the only footsteps out there, it's quite nice. It's a good choice.
Yeah, it was in winter as well, so there was not many people there, and it's about as good a way you can start your morning.
100%. And what's number one on the must playlist of golf courses?
Probably St Andrews.
Yep.
I went over to Scotland last year, but couldn't get on. I was a little bit upset about it, but that course looks. I think it's before you try all the other fancy ones, you got to start at the start, I think.
Yep. No, I agree with you. I think it's right at the top of everyone's list that plays golf that hasn't played there before. I did see. They've just changed the rules. So once upon a time, you could turn up the day before and park yourself outside and wait for the hut to open the next morning at 6 a.m. to see if you can grab a spot. They've changed that now. You can go in the day before and there's a little iPad and you can log in and say, this is what I want. So it's like a virtual line. So you don't have to sleep out anymore. So they'll just message you and say, yeah, you're in.
I didn't see you don't actually have to wait there anymore.
No.
I don't think people are going to miss that.
I agree. I think... I'm going to guess it has to be OH&S or something like that. That's meaning that they don't want, 15 or 20 people at the front drinking cans all night or whiskey, waiting for them to open at 6. But yeah, I mean, coming into the future, but I think there is a little bit of, history around hanging out all night, I think, and waiting for that tea time or trying to get that tea time.
Yeah. It's a bit sad really, but I don't know. I wouldn't be saying it's sad if I was sitting there in the line, I'd be wishing that
I'm
had
hating
an
it.
iPad that you could that you could click on.
100%. Now you can only have one, the Masters or the Open. Which one is it?
The Open.
And yeah. You get the follow-up question. When you say the Open, is it winning it, watching it? Which one?
Winning it. In my head, it's winning it.
And winning it.
I'm far from it, I can tell you. But,
yeah.
but yeah, I think if I was going to win one, I'd like to win the Open.
Yep. Yeah. It's funny because whenever I ask that question, I always wonder what people's mind flick to. They're thinking, oh, I can only watch it on TV, only one of them forever, and I don't get the other one, or does the other one disappear? Or do people think winning? You ask her, like Robert McIntyre, Bobby Mack last year. I'm sure he's thinking winning. So it's just curious to see where people's brains go to.
I'm a fair way away from winning it, but you never know what will happen.
You never know. Finish, what is it, top three at the Aussie Open? You just got to get in. That's all you got to do. It's easy as that. They used to have an Open Championship qualifier here. I reckon it was a two-day event at Kingston Heath, and I was only just starting out. I had dreams of entering it and somehow shooting 15 strokes better than my best score ever and somehow getting in. But I remember one of the pros that got in was David Diaz, who actually does coach now. I think Dave Diaz, or anyone that knows him well enough, Dirty Diaz, is still coaching down at Albert Park. And he got in. And he actually, this has to be 20, 25 years ago. He got in and then put onto eBay, which was brand new, the ability to caddy for him and auctioned it off. So I think he got about 25 or 30 grand from someone, and they went over and caddied for him for the 2 days. He didn't make the cut, but yeah, pretty good deal. I mean, he obviously got looked after, but yeah.
Great experience.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, God, it would be expensive to travel yourself there over and go and do it, but if you got in, you get in. If you can get someone to caddy for you and help subsidize it, go crazy, I reckon. Now, with your golf, what is the preferential feeling for you? Is it striping a drive or flushing an iron?
Flushing an iron.
Flushing an iron.
Yeah, actually, flushing an iron is a lot harder than flushing a drive, I reckon.
And is it the follow up when you say iron? Is it a short iron or a longer iron or no specific iron?
A long iron. Yeah.
The long iron.
Yeah, it doesn't happen very often. No. So that's the one. I think that's the one that everyone's. Well, for me personally, that's the one I'm chasing for sure. It only happened a few times in my life, and I'd like to happen a bit more.
Yeah, I think it's funny. Early doors on the podcast, I reckon was a split, but it's definitely leaning more now. People saying, oh, no, flushing an iron. I don't care about the driver at all.
Right.
It's been definitely be getting more and more and more people saying they prefer to flush the irons and long irons. Each person says the same thing.
Yeah.
Now, public golf can be different, but is the pin in or pin out when you're playing?
Yeah, I'm probably not as passionate about this one as most people. If it's in, I'm happy to leave it in if we're just kind of having a whack around. But
yep.
But I kind of played a large portion of my golf during COVID, so
yeah.
I wasn't allowed to touch it. So yeah. that was kind of, I only started golf kind of maybe 6 months before COVID started. So I was pretty used to it anyway. So.
Yep.
I'm not too fast. If I had to pick one, I'd say out, but I'm also not going to walk up there and grab it. Yeah.
No, I think it seems to be the same theme all the time now. On the first hole, everyone kind of decides what they're doing, and if someone wants it out, we just take it out for the day. Oh, I'm out, so I don't never really have to leave it in unless I want to miss a short putt, because that's what I tend to do when I leave the flag in.
Yeah, well, none of them have ever bounced off the flag and stayed out. So if that happens, maybe I'll be a bit more passionate about it.
Change your mind quick. That's cost me. I'm done now. It always comes out.
Yeah.
I think it depends on the flag. You see some flags that are thin at the base, or they taper at the bottom, or they're nice wooden ones, like some of the ones you see at PK. You know, they're quite nice. And then some of the ones, you know, like Royal Park, it's literally a piece of conduit. It's a plastic stick. It's literally a goalkeeper. There's no chance of staying in. Could go in trickling and somehow bounces off it.
Yeah.
Now, you said that Barney went out early and loved it. Are you normally a dew sweeper in the morning, or are you half sets and sunsets out in the afternoon? Have you got a preference?
Yeah, I'm a dew sweeper.
Yeah.
I like getting out. I'm not a good golfer in the wind. So if I can if I can get out before the wind picks up, I prefer that. But if I'm just having a hit, I also love as the sun goes down with friends and just kind of having a hit. But if I can, if I'm booking a tea time for tomorrow, I'll play early and then I've kind of got the rest of the day to do whatever I need to do.
Yep. No, I'm the go and play at some point during the day, go home, get bored and decide I'm going to go and scuff around the local golf course at like 6:30 at night, kind of do a bit of both. Now, the one that you have to think about the most, I guess, is what have you got a favorite golf memento or keepsake? Something that obviously you've only been playing golf for 4 or 5 years. Is there something that in that time you've said, nah, this sticks with me, or this is the one thing that I will always think about?
There was a tea bag that my mum had when my mum passed away when I was about 19. She left me a tea bag, and I've still got it. I don't know why I kept just the tea bag and nothing else, but I kept that tea bag and didn't think I'd ever use it because I didn't see myself playing golf back then, but it's coming quite handy now. Even though I make my own tea bags, I've still got that one in my bag. So
yeah, that's good. What's it? Is it material? Is it leather? Or
yeah, it's like a canvas.
Oh yeah,
kind of a black canvas one. Yeah,
yeah, nice.
Just a silver zip, very very minimalistic, but it kind of doesn't leave a golf bag.
No, that's good. Something different. I think it's funny. Like I said last week or the other week when I spoke to Mike, every time you ask somebody that, they always know what they think about, and I get to watch. So people, this is audio, obviously, but I get to see the visuals. So the person talking about it, you can see that it actually means something. Every time someone talks about whatever it is, you see them light up. Like, it's really good. It's a very good question. I did tell Cheese, who came up with it, a mate of mine, that question. I said, I thanked you. He doesn't even listen to the podcast anymore. So, Cheese, I'd say thanks again, but I know you're not listening to this. So, good job, mate. For Mount T, so you obviously got the head covers before we stopped talking about Mount T in general. You got the t-shirts and everything else. Is there any new bits and pieces that you're currently working on or thinking about or any directions you wanted to go in with it?
Yeah, we've got some exciting things coming up. Head covers are always going to be a major focus for us. It's something that we're really, it's kind of the focus of our business. It makes it easy for us to explain what we like and what we don't like, and gives us a bit more freedom to separate ourselves that way. But we're kind of solving a few of the problems that we saw of, you know, we found it hard to get wet weather gear that we liked and pants that we liked. So we're kind of going through, you know, different trials of those products, and we're pretty close on some of those. So there will always be a little element of apparel, but for the most part, we're gonna stick to head covers. But exciting with this next drop that's going to come out, we'll have hybrids and two putters to go with the three wooden driver. So
nice. And when, roughly when do you think they'll be on the shelves?
Hopefully the end of next month they'll be out.
Cool. So end of April, people will be able to get their hands on it. So they should be checking out Mount T Golf, either the website, I'm guessing the social. So make sure you follow as well.
Yeah. Yep.
Now it is Valero Texas Open Week that we are launching this. So Jeremy's going to, or we are going to play Mike versus the mug, but the tricky part is we don't know who's playing it. We haven't got the final field. So Jeremy will, I'll post them up on Instagram once we get him. He can have first crack at the board. It is at TPC San Antonio, where they have played the last couple of years. It is a Greg Norman course. He's one that Sergio helped him redo a couple of years ago. It's one of those courses where when they've played there historically the last couple of years, I've looked at it and gone, oh, Sergio might be a good person to pick because, you know, he knows it pretty well. But good news is he's definitely not playing there this year because he's playing in LIV. They will not be there. So it's a bit of a, and it's called the Oaks course. It's quite tree lined in places, minimalist sort of, well, not sandbelty type bunkers, but, you know, a bit rugged, minimalist sort of pots. Corey Connors won last year. He beat Sam Stevens by a shot at 15 under. The winners, I mean, obviously coming off the Masters, only a couple of weeks after the Masters, it is a bit of a lean field. I expect to see the same this year. So previous winners, JJ Spawn, Jordan Spieth, obviously Texas boy, the Canadian man, Corey Connors, Andrew Landry, Kevin Chappell. Kevin Chappell's been missing for a little while now after his injury. It'll be an interesting week, I think. I'm looking forward to it. I'll definitely put a little bit more once we finish recording this. When it gets closer to the date, I'll tack some more info on there around the weather and who's playing and the tips and really run through the stats and other bits and pieces. And I'll definitely reach out to you. So you'll have first crack. So don't stress. And I know you're probably very concerned about that.
I'll need it.
Do you have a, I didn't get you prepared for this. Do you have a charity that you want me to give money to if and when you beat me?
Yeah, hopefully I do beat you. Yeah, there's a charity called Sanctuary.
Yep.
They look after, give support to people who've lost loved ones and help in that way. So something that, yeah, they're pretty good for me when I was younger and my family. So it means cool. A bit to me.
Done. So Sanctuary it is. And we'll have those picks out. It'll be probably mid-April. I mean, first week of April, I think it is when it comes around for the Valero. Mate, really, really appreciate your time. For anyone who's on the socials, what's the handle again for Mount T?
Yeah, just Mount T Golf on Instagram. That's probably the best way to find us there, yeah.
Cool. Mate, appreciate your time. And, yeah, anyone who wants to look at some new head covers, something a little bit different, make sure you get on and have a look. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Cheers.
A big thanks again to Jeremy for that one. As I said, it was pre-recorded, so now we're in the future. It is now officially the Valero Texas Open Week, and last week I did have the luxury of being at the Houston Open. Before we start talking a little bit more about Valero, just some rundown on what it was like, I guess, going to a PGA Tour event. The first thing I'd say is I wasn't expecting there to be too much. I've obviously been to two majors, as I've talked about before. I didn't expect the infrastructure to be that much different to, say, an Aussie Open. And to be honest, I couldn't have been more wrong. Everything is certainly bigger in Texas. So there would have been grandstands kind of the size and scale that you would have at the Australian Open, but probably, I don't know, 6 to 8 times more.
So on probably every second or third hole, you had a substantial amount of grandstands, substantial amount of people walking around. So way more foot traffic, which is, you know, impressive. Texas is a big state, and obviously San Antonio is, I think, about 3 hours drive from Houston, and they're up this week. So to still get that many people there, it was a very big event. And Scottie Scheffler being there didn't hurt by any stretch of the imagination. He was certainly the crowd favorite. He wasn't Tiger-esque, but yeah, there was a lot of people following Scottie around for the times that I was there on Friday and Sunday. For the way it was run, it was great. Like, it was really impressive. I had a special ticket, which I just anyone can purchase on the Sunday. It was called a venue hopper. That was $150 US, which sounds like a lot. It's just over $200 Aussie. And that gave me access to three grandstands, 15, 16, and 9. And in the grandstands, it was free food and drinks for the whole day. Not alcohol. Alcohol you had to buy. But if you wanted a can of Coke, you wanted some water, all there available. If you wanted food, you had a plethora of things to choose from. You had beef brisket, nachos, tacos, all sorts of things, all, you know, way bigger portions as you would expect in the States versus what you'd see in Australia. At any time throughout the day, go and grab yourself some more food. And probably the benefit of nothing else over and above the food and drink was seating. Like, you just perch up somewhere. I put up some photos online on the Instagram account. I'll put some more up in the next couple of days showing the views you had. And it was just great. It was just really, really good. Very, very well organized event. I couldn't speak more highly of it. The winner was Stephen Jaeger. I think most everyone's probably either saw the finish or probably watching it as it went through over the last couple of days. Scottie Scheffler, look, everyone's going to say it was a weak putt. Probably the one where you sit there and think it's just disappointing because he is clearly playing the best golf of anyone else on the planet. But when he misses those putts, he just needs to throttle them. Like, he just needs to grab that by the throat and win it, or at least get into the playoff and make Jaeger beat him. And when he doesn't, it just takes the shine off as being the best in the world. It just always gives him that little stigma, I guess, that none of us want to see. Yeah, so Stephen Jaeger won. It was a great win for him. Really, really good for him to get his first one off. And I'm sure Scottie wasn't too stressed about taking second place and now having the week off going into the Masters. Alejandro Tosti was the other one who performed quite well, along with Detri and Taylor Moore. Detri was probably the one that I thought might come over the top of everyone and win it. As I was walking around the grounds on Friday, I was out in the middle of the 15th hole, and he was coming down. He just hit his ball over towards the edge of the ropes, and there's this little kid just standing there. I mean, there's no one around. I mean, there would have been 10 people within 100 meters of us, and this little kid just stood there with his hand out, like, give me a high five. Like, it was like the middle of the event. I'm thinking, this kid not getting a high five, and he was probably 10 meters away into the fairway from where this kid was, and he sort of looked at him and did a double take, and then he literally walked over to the little kid, gave him a high five, and walked back. And I thought, you know what, Thomas Detri, that is really good karma, mate, and I can see you having a good week this week. And he nearly pinched it. He was playing quite well. I was probably the only one cheering for Thomas Detri. I feel like everyone on course was definitely cheering for Scottie, and if it wasn't Scottie, it was definitely Tony Finau that they were cheering for. Other players that they probably didn't mind, obviously Billy Horschel and Akshay Pardia was probably the other one I'd note. He was probably the one that stood out for me that I don't mind the look of the way he played this week. He had a pretty rough hole on the ninth par three right in front of me. Really, really, really tough lie where he put it into the bunker, had no stance, and then left it in there. And that was kind of a little bit of the beginning of the end for his charge, I guess, for that final day. But onto this week, I've obviously given you the rundown of all the things that we're looking at from the course. The update on weather is it's going to be warm. It's pretty hot in Texas. It's up around the high 20s this week there. It's going to be pretty breezy. There might be a little bit of rain on Sunday, so they'll be keeping an eye on that for sure. They definitely don't. I mean, don't know that it looks horrendous, but they'll be keeping an eye on it because the last thing they want is a Monday finish coming into the Masters. I wouldn't think it will happen, but again, nothing's impossible. The field is obviously set now, much better field than what I saw last week at Houston. So Rory McIlroy, Brian Harman, Ludvig Åberg, Max Homa, Matt Fitzpatrick, Fleetwood, Matsuyama, Morikawa, Spieth, Tom Kim, lot of guys, Jordan Spieth, a lot of guys doing that final touch up the week before the Masters, and that's just the way they like to do it. So as you can imagine, this event's always going to, if it sits in this spot, it's going to get some reasonably good fields. But the players that I like, it's a bit of a mixed bag this week. The person who rates on top is Keith Mitchell. I did see Keith. I did put up a video of Keith this week. I won't be picking Keith this week. He's gone into the no bet basket, but I am actually taking a person out of the no bet basket and putting them in, and that's Hideki Matsuyama. I laugh when I say his name already because I just know this is going to be a heartbreak. 15th here last year. He's played really well at the Arnold Palmer, finishing 12th, 6th at the Players. So has the form, rates second in my numbers. He's going to be in the picks for sure. Ben Ann also is going to be in the picks. He finished 6th last year. He, 4 years ago, finished 7th and was 8th at the API. So he's going to be in there. Lucas Glover, he's had a couple of top 20 finishes out of his five starts here, and he was 11th at the Valspar, so that looks good to me. And the two players that stood out from last week are probably the next ones. So Billy Horschel has played a lot here, hasn't played the last 3 years, but has played a lot and has had a lot of reasonably good results, three or four top fives. But 7th at Houston, 12th at the Valspar, 9th at the Cognizant, he's flashing some form, and he does like playing in this part of the world, so he's going to be in there. And probably overall, my top three picks going to be the one that's going to be Akshay Bhatia. So he played here once or twice, sorry. Hasn't really had any great results here, but I'm really more going on his current form. So 11th last week and then 17th the week before, to me says, yeah, look, I'm pretty comfortable with what he's putting up. And when I see someone that's got that sort of form, I'm more than likely to put them in the picks, just because, you know, if they're playing good right now, there's a good chance that they can carry it on next week, more of a chance at least than someone who's just shown great form at the course, because, you know, you can play well here forever, but if you're not playing well at the moment, it's just not going to help. If you want to go down the odds market, Rory's a favorite at $9, no big surprise there. Ludvig Åberg 11, Matsuyama 18, Jordan Spieth 20, Morikawa 22, Corey Connors 22, Homer 22, Fitzpatrick 25, Noren 30, who was in the picks last week and did play well for a little while. Ben Ann, who will be in the picks this week, 33. Tommy Fleetwood, 30. Harris English, 30. Russell Henley, 30. So they're the main ones there. I'm going to find Akshay Bhatia for you. He's at 50. So he's probably going to be my number one pick this week, Bhatia, just looking at the price, because 50 to 1 is a very, very good price, especially when, you know, Matsuyama's coming up around 18. So maybe the ones I'll be working around to start with. If you are looking at round one leaders, I will put something up, but definitely be leaning towards the guys that are out in the morning. It does get a little bit breezier in the afternoon, and seeing it firsthand last week, what they did predicted to be just okay wins, it's actually pretty strong. There's a couple of holes there where I didn't fancy at all teeing off on any of those holes. They were playing pretty strong into the breeze with a lot of trouble around. So I think it'll be one to just lean for those guys in the morning. That's it for me. Thank you again to Jeremy. Jeremy will be putting out some three picks for Mike versus the Mug. We will be posting them. And then that money, if and when he beats me, will be going to his charity of choice. So that's it. We do have another guest lined up for next week for the big one, for the Masters. I will be in transit. I'm currently up in New York. I'm just about to head off to some Yankee games over the next few days again, which I've been doing the last week in Houston, having a ball. If you do have any inputs over the next little bit, or if you've got any ideas for upcoming guests, please just let me know. But we do have a couple lined up, and we do have a special one next week for the Masters, so looking forward to it. And everyone, if you are having a bet, just make sure you are doing it responsibly. Cheers.